Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome back to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe on this Tuesday before the big 4th of July weekend. I'm Dale Dierman here for Mary Charlotte. Coming up this hour, our friend Cindy Scullin. You may remember my early morning partner during the Spring On Air Fun Drive. She's here with a compelling story, not about public radio, but about the mind's power to help make the most of medicine. Later, I'd like you to meet the newest member of the KSFR broadcast family. She's Tara Gatewood, host of Indigenous Foundation, an exploration of Native American culture and music that debuted on KSFR a couple of Saturdays ago. Hear Tara's broadcast Saturdays at 3 p.m. Hear Tara, in just a little while. And, of course, 4th of July weekend is almost upon us. We'll be live this Saturday morning on the Santa Fe Plaza, beginning at 8 a.m. for Pancakes on the Plaza. Our own Diego Mulligan, host of The Journey Home weekdays at 5, will join me and a legion of other KSFR folks, including that crazy woman from New York, Rula. Diego loves to walk around with that wireless microphone and chat with the crowd. My job Saturday will be to keep him from walking out of range. We do hope you'll come by the KSFR booth right in front of First National Bank and say hello to all of us. Pancakes on the Plaza, of course, is the big United Way charitable event of the year. CEO of the United Way, Catherine Freeman, will also join us just a little while from now with all the details on that. So, back in a minute. And today on the Radio Cafe with me are Cindy Scullin, whom I think you know if you've been listening to the Fun Drive these past couple of times, and Dr. B. Davis, who is a Ph.D. in education and one of the pioneering minds who helped start KSFR, actually, a while ago. Cindy, when you're not on air with me during the pledge drive, you do something very different from your past life as a broadcaster in Boston. You're a certified clinical hypnotherapist here in Santa Fe, certified in medical hypnosis, birthing, past life, and natal regression hypnotherapy. How the heck did you get into this?
Thank you for asking. Well, there I was in Boston running a radio broadcasting company. I had a wonderful, still have, a wonderful husband. Everything's working well.
Yes, he's watching.
Yes, he is.
Just in case
he's watching the radio.
You don't think he's wonderful. He's watching.
Two fabulous children. So I've got a great job and a great family life, and I want to jump off a roof, and I don't know why. And I try St. John's Wort and a number of other herbal devices to try to get myself back together again. And I run across an article by Dr. Brian Weiss, who's a psychiatrist, very famous now, but back then less famous, meaning that he was even on Oprah in the past year or so. That's how famous he's become.
Oh, my God.
I know. He was talking about hypnotherapy as being just an incredible process for situations the like of which I was experiencing. And he called and he recommended a local Boston hypnotherapist, and I went, and three or four sessions later, I felt more bliss in my life than I've ever felt before, and I thought, this stuff is really good. And I went into it very skeptically. I went into it with a tape recorder. It was a very interesting first session, but it was absolutely incredible. I was so moved by the experience. It was so fantastic that I ran back to this group that I was working with. It was a CEO group back in Boston, largely men. In fact, 95% men. And we talked about this experience. And much to my absolute surprise, four of the fellows, the men, went and had the same kind of experience, different because their personal lives were obviously very different and they were men. But it was extremely effective for them, too. So I thought, well, maybe it's time after I leave this position to try something new. So, yep. And in fact, I have to say that one of the best hypnotherapy schools in the world, certainly among the top three by anybody's measure, is actually in Santa Fe. The Hypnotherapy Academy of America is right here in Santa Fe. So if anybody's interested, they should check that out.
Well, in terms of changing your life, mm-hmm. or having more than one life, I mean, I am completely into that. That's why I got here in the first place after all those years with Mark, your husband, and you in advertising, coming here and starting a whole new thing in public radio. Sounds like this process really enhanced your life. What does somebody experience in hypnotherapy?
Well, essentially, you settle into a very deep, relaxing, safe state. For example, just for a minute now, think about when you had a really, really good, interesting daydream. It's a lot like that. And then what we do is we begin a process of identifying any blocks or habitual patterns that might exist in one's subconscious mind that are getting in the way of what you really want. Even things that may have subconsciously created a belief that you can't do something or that you're not good enough and so on. Essentially, the body is the subconscious mind. That's science, and it's been science for the past 20 years, and people who are interested in that can look up Dr. Candace Peart's work and Dr. Bruce Lipkin's work. Just very interesting stuff. You'll hear it if you pay any attention to Deepak Chopra, also a physician, Brian Weiss, Dr. Mehmet Oz, those types of individuals. But here's the good part. So we get into that state, and then we release these blocks or patterns and replace them with what you do want. And through all of this, you remain in complete control of your thoughts and your environment. And in effect, the hypnotherapist, I in this case, act as a guide to keep my client on track to get what they really want. So I find that for me, many clients really get into this, and I don't want to limit them, so I don't limit my time with clients. We work together in each session as long as it takes. I get asked a lot about fees relative to this. I don't have an hourly fee. I work flat rate so that my clients are comfortable, and they never have to think about that when they're in a session.
Well, Cindy, I understand that Stanford and Harvard Medical Schools have done a lot of clinical research on this work and find it to be very effective for a variety of issues, like?
Well, the big one, the overarching one for many of us is stress. And stress is caused by a whole variety of things. It can be caused by a trauma, a grief, a worry, especially during these economic times. In fact, the Benson Henry Institute of the Massachusetts General Hospital did a massive research study and discovered that 90% of all doctor's visits, are stress-related. So hypnotherapy has been found to be wonderfully, beyond relaxing, very proactive in terms of dealing with stress issues. But it also is fantastic for pain management. That can be from cancer, chemotherapy, arthritis, IBS, gastrointestinal issues, fibromyalgia. Weight loss is another area that's very, very well-researched with regard to hypnotherapy. Really, almost any condition that is related to your physical or psychological well-being can be dealt with, handled, reprogrammed using hypnotherapy. But one of the most amazing things that we've discovered in science, in the clinical research by Stanford and Harvard particularly, is the fact that you heal so much faster, 25 to 33% faster after surgery.
I want to turn now to Dr. B. Davis, who's here and is a client of yours. I understand, B., that you found Cindy through a referral from Dr. Robert Sapien, is that right?
Yes.
Who's a professor of medicine and chief of the Pediatric Emergency Division of the University of New Mexico Medical School and Hospital. Tell us about your experience with Cindy and hypnotherapy.
Big subject. I got to Cindy because I had just experienced a huge loss. My husband had died of lung cancer. 3 months after his death, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So I had a few grieving issues and some major fear issues.
Yeah.
And I wanted very much to find some way of helping me, supporting me to deal with that. I had a surgeon friend in California, Dr. Dixie Mills, who recommended that I read a book called How to Prepare for Surgery, read that book, learned that hypnosis was one way to go, and I had had some good experiences with hypnosis 30 years earlier around asthma. So I went on the internet and found Dr. Sapien and through him found Cindy. My experience with her has been nothing but dramatic and miracle-producing, and she held my hand and worked with me through the whole breast cancer surgery experience.
Well, that sounds daunting. I mean, it sounds wonderful, but it sounds daunting. specifically, how did that work?
Well, for me, it was about showing up and getting into this wonderfully relaxed state with Cindy, really looking at my fears and replacing them with belief that I was going to be fine and being proactive and positive about the experience that I was about to experience. And with her help, she came with me and actually hypnotized me throughout the surgery experience. End result was I got through it with not only no pain, but quite a bit of upbeat satisfaction, sense of empowerment.
Did you have pain medication afterwards?
They gave me all kinds of things to take. I didn't take as much as an aspirin after the surgery because I had no pain. There was nothing to treat.
Wow. What would you say, be it anybody who's on the fence about this process?
You know, there's just absolutely no downside. It's all pluses. Fear and stress and upset, I think, comes with the territory around surgery, unless you have somebody like Cindy holding your hand and showing you another way. And hypnosis is a way of getting on top of all the things that cramp you, upset you, make the whole thing more problematic. Without stress in surgery, it's amazing how quickly you can recover. And with hypnosis, you can just fly through it. I was actually happy the day of my surgery.
She behaved as though she was going into a spa. And for those people who are aware of what the procedure is, we're talking through the lock and bracket part of the procedure. I mean, she could have been at 10,000 waves. Even the radiologist said to me, I think she's too hypnotized. She's slipping from the machine here. But she was absolutely terrific. And what it is it's not me. It's Bee's healing power and allowing it to come forward, her natural healing power, that got her in surgery and out of surgery. It was a three-hour surgery. I was with her doing hypnosis, and we had an anesthesiologist working with me to keep the anesthesia way low, very, very minimal. And at the end, Bee opened her eyes in the surgical suite and gave me a little pat and had a great big smile on her face. 20 minutes later, she was insisting that she should be on her feet. And within an hour and a half or so, because of the hospital's regs and all of that, she was actually standing on her feet in the elevator singing This Little Light of Mine.
This Little Light of Mine.
I was about to ask what the heck you were saying.
Yeah. And the doors opened and some docs got in and said, oh, we like this elevator. We're gonna sing too. So it was a rockin' time. It was really an amazing moment. And the next morning she was at the farmer's market.
Ah. Well, mm-hmm. that sounds awfully satisfying. Cindy, if a listener is interested in finding out more about hypnotherapy, what's the best way to do that?
Well, over time, I found that people have questions and they want to talk. They want to talk about their issues and they want answers. So calling me is really the best thing versus emailing. And my phone number is 231-1618. I'll say that one again, 231-1618. And please feel free to call if you just want to have some questions answered. Don't feel like you're obligated to do anything at all. We just want to make this process of awakening to your own healing power as easy as possible for anybody out there.
I want to thank Bee Davis for coming in today and talking with us about her experience. And Cindy Scullin, of course, many of you know from our early morning experiences together during the last fun drive.
Are we going to do this again in the fall?
Yeah, babe.
Oh, boy. Uh-huh. Stay tuned. More amazing painless cream. For those of you who were up with the chickens with us last time.
Right. Thanks, everybody. 8:23 here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe on this Tuesday. Mary Charlotte will be around. She may even be here every day soon. Dal Dierman here for her today. And, the opera. Man, that's going to be what a season is planned. That sounds terrific. Coming up on the cafe in the next 40 minutes or so, we're going to talk with our newest KSFR host, a member of the Native American community. Tara Gate will be here in just a moment. And then, of course, we're going to talk about the 4th of July weekend with Catherine Freeman of the United Way. Pancakes on the Plaza, of course, is the big deal around here. All that coming up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Stay with us, please. And next on the Radio Cafe, I'd like to welcome our newest member of the KSFR family who has a brand new show on Saturday afternoons, Tara Gatewood. Hi.
Hi, Del.
So glad to have you here. And you've had just a couple of weeks to begin the adventure here. We're so thrilled to have you on Saturdays at 3. You are, of course, a Native American. Tell us a little bit about what you see as the show's premise.
Sure thing. Well, it's a real pleasure to be visiting with you, and I am from the Pueblo of Isleta. I'm also Navajo, and Indigenous Foundation is a brainchild of many conversations that I've had through the years listening to Indigenous music. And,
could I just interrupt to say Indigenous Foundation is the name of the show?
Yes.
And we love that.
Great. Well, you know, it's an important word in creating more understanding about the Indigenous peoples of the world, because so many times there's so many terms that are used to talk about people, and, you know, a lot of times they're allocated from wrong categorization or either associations. And so I really like the word Indigenous, because if you look at the definition of it, it's showing the connection of people to their land, and definitely that connection is at the basis of Indigenous music, you know, especially the communities where I'm from, as well as other communities wherever you go.
Tell us a little about the music that you play on the program.
Sure thing. Well, the music ranges everywhere, and I love to say it's everything under the sun. It ranges from contemporary music to traditional music, and even the independent music, where, believe it or not, within Native communities, there is a sort of a mainstream Native kind of beat, and there's even an independent grouping of that as well. So I like to try and introduce all of that, and even a little bit on projects that people are working on that maybe no one else has heard just yet.
You know, part of the magic of having a program like this on KSFR, I think, is not just, although it's very important to me and to all of us at KSFR, to attempt to be supportive of and responsive to the Native community. It's also an opportunity for those who are not part of that community to begin to understand a little bit more about the culture. And so I think it's sort of a two-way street there. Some of the music, some of the music we heard at the Thirsty Ear Festival just a couple of weeks ago, included, for example, a group called Indigenous. And I know you have some other music that you might like to preview a couple of minutes of here on the program with us this morning that one could hear on Saturday afternoon. Maybe we could just listen for a moment to a little bit of Indigenous.
Sure, that sounds great. And one interesting thing about this group, not only their name is great, Indigenous, but they have been a cornerstone in introducing people not from the Native community to music that Indigenous people are playing today. So this is a great example of that.
Great. We'll be back in just a moment.
The same.
We're talking to Tara Gatewood, who is the newest KSFR host here of Indigenous Foundation on Saturday afternoons at 3 o'clock. And we're previewing some of the music you can hear on Saturday afternoons right here. Tara, what else are you thinking about playing during the next, decade or so while you're on Santa Fe Public Radio?
Well, I definitely want to play music that gives you a taste of all of the different sounds, you know, everything from rock to reggae to traditional. And I really like to play music that dances in both of those arenas, either a person who is from a community making that or either a traditional community that is expressing themselves, you know, in a different way. And one perfect example of that is Samantha Crane, and she was recently here in Santa Fe, and I really enjoy her music because she's not afraid to take her music into a genre that isn't publicized as Native Americans being in the mainstream, but her music is a perfect example of showing her connection to the world that she's connected to, which also connects her Native community as well as the rest of the world. And I think her song Rising Sun really, it captivates the audience, and the reason is her voice. And, you know, like any other good musician, you know, her voice is her connection to everybody, and being able to have an Indigenous woman share her voice in this way, it's just an amazing thing to do, because if you hear her on the station or you hear her on a radio, you may not necessarily know she's Native American by her lyrics or her sound, and that just proves, you know, that, you know, it doesn't always have to come out straight what your interpretation of what an Indigenous song might sound like. So it's a great song.
Let's let everybody hear what that sounds like. Here's Samantha Crane on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
I will give in to the dark clouds, and I will sing with the fog in my throat. We will stand like statues among men and be a constant. Stay. Look into my eyes, come and see the rising sun above. It's about to break. Look into my eyes, come and see the rising sun above. It's about to break. Break our spell.
Samantha Crane here on KSFR Santa Fe Public Radio, and here with Tara Gatewood, who was our newest host on Saturday afternoons, right here at 3 o'clock. And Tara, it is a thrill to hear more of this music, which we began to listen to, many of us, for the first time just a couple of weeks ago at the Thirsty Ear Festival, which, of course, is an internationally known festival which comes to the world right here from Santa Fe. And in fact, we are rebroadcasting portions of Thirsty Ear all summer at 9 o'clock on Thursdays here on KSFR.
Great. Well, you know, Gal, I just wanted to add, it's such an honor to be able to be sitting back and really taking a critical listening to the music that, you know, I'll be putting in the show or either sharing with folks. And to be able to think about this music and wonder how it connects together, it's just beautiful. And in digging up or digging through the crates and trying to find music and information on music from all types of indigenous communities, I came across a concept out of the Coast Salish community in the Northwest. And there was just this concept that I think it really expresses what it is that I'm sharing on the show. And basically the way their concept boils down to is that our spirit manifests a song, and that song stays with a person for life. And it goes on to say, and when that song is not being sung, it may want to be danced. And being able to dance in public is very important for, as I'll quote, required for proper maintenance of your own self. And I think that concept really, you know, talks about what I hope to accomplish with the show, is just maintaining our own person and knowing about the world that we're connected to. So there's plenty more of that to come.
So Tara, there's a lot to keep up with. How do people who want to do that?
Well, first you got to listen.
Yeah, I hope so. 101.1.
You got it. And I also have a MySpace page, and it's just myspace.com/myindigenousfoundation. And it's a good way to kind of check out what the show's about and upcoming themes for the week, as well as the musicians who we're highlighting. Always try and keep those posted so you yourself can go and make that connection with these artists as well. And of course, you can always email me. My email is indigenous@ksfr.org. And I welcome comments, and if there's any songs that people are just burning to hear, I will definitely do my best to try and squeeze those into the play.
This is Indigenous Foundation with Tara Gatewood on Saturdays at 3 o'clock here on KSFR. Thank you, Tara, for being with us in the Radio Cafe this morning, and we look forward to listening every week, as I have the last couple of weeks, to your great program.
Thank you very much. I'll look forward to it.
Thanks for being part of our family.
Thank you.
8:43 here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Dal Dierman here with you today for Mary Charlotte, who's planning to come back full-time in, not too many more days. You just heard a message from the United Way about this weekend's big Pancakes on the Plaza extravaganza, and I want to introduce Catherine Freeman, who is the CEO and president of the United Way. Catherine, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for having us on today.
Well, we sure do want to have you on because we want to have a huge turnout on Saturday, of course. KSFR will be there in front of the First National Bank building, and we'll be broadcasting live. But there's a lot more going on. And, of course, why is it going on? Because you've got a lot of other nonprofits to help. So where shall we start? With the event or with what the United Way is most up to these days?
Either place is fine with me. Since we're talking about the event, let's talk about that a little bit. Certainly the ad really well covered everything that goes on, but we're on the plaza on Saturday, the 4th of July. We begin flipping pancakes at 7 and do that until noon. There are many activities for kids and families, lots of great entertainment on the stage. It's just one of the best community days in Santa Fe, we think. Everybody comes out from all walks of life and just has a really good time together.
Well, it has a great reputation, of course. How long has it been going on now? My gosh.
You know, it's been, United Way has been involved for about 10 or 12 years now, but I think Pancakes on the Plaza has been going on. I think this is the 35th year.
Wow. And, of course, the plaza has been spiffed up. I think it's going to be a pretty pretty fancy event this year.
Right.
And as you say, there are all sorts of things going on for all different ages of people. It really is a family opportunity.
That's right.
Let's talk, though, about the United Way and why the United Way thinks it's important to do this and all the work that here in Santa Fe you guys do.
Sure. Well, you know, part of the reason that we like doing this is the work that we do in the Santa Fe Children's Project. You know, that's our main activity right now, and it involves work with kids and families all the way from, you know, prenatally, ultimately through high school graduation, with a very heavy focus right now on younger kids and elementary age kids. And so that's important. We think that's really important. But this year and last year, we've been really lucky to be in partnership with the Santa Fe New Mexican and the Downtown Rotary Club. So part of the benefit of Pancakes on the Plaza, part of the money now goes to those organizations' foundations, and they fund other nonprofits in the community besides United Way of Santa Fe County with the proceeds that they receive from Pancakes on the Plaza. So we think it's really exciting and really benefits Santa Fe that not only our work in the Santa Fe Children's Project is supported, but also the great work of other nonprofits through the New Mexican right. Community Fund and the Rotary Foundation.
And yeah, just to be clear about that, it's not the New Mexican, it's the New Mexican Community Fund, which is the nonprofit
right.
arm of the newspaper, which
exactly.
we also are partners with and always very pleased to be.
Right, and then it's the Rotary Foundation as well, which, as you know, funds nonprofits across the community. So, you know, it's getting a broader base because of our partnership with the New Mexican and with the Rotary Club, and we're really delighted about that.
And, of course, this is not the easiest year for, well, for any, but almost anybody. Madoff's going to prison finally, but other than
that was good news, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, 150 years, man.
That's a long time.
He's going to look a lot worse when he comes out. But it is a difficult year for nonprofits all over the place, and here in Santa Fe, it's a challenge for sure. Are you finding it harder to keep the faith this year?
Well, you know, obviously these kinds of economic times are very challenging, and we've been, as always in difficult times, extremely impressed with the generosity of our donors, and we actually met our campaign goal this year, so we're very happy about that.
You know, there's something about Santa Fe, I have to tell you, as general manager of the radio station, that I was nervous this past spring. We do 2 on-air fund drives a year, and I was nervous about making our goal, and gosh darn it, we did.
Yes,
and
right.
It was a sigh of relief, and of course, we have to do it again in the fall, but it's just a testament to how much people within the sounds of our voices right now care about their community.
Absolutely, absolutely. We just were, you know, delighted and really humbled at how much people do care and how they step forward. You know, particularly in difficult times, to help people who really need a lot of help. So it's a good thing.
Yep. Well, we're going to be on the plaza on Saturday, and I hope we'll have a chance to talk on the air again then. Catherine Freeman, who is the CEO and president of the United Way here in Santa Fe, thanks for getting up and talking with us on the radio this morning. Look forward to the big event this weekend.
Thank you so much for having us, and we hope to see everybody on the plaza.
Absolutely. We'll
Thank
be back.
You.
Thanks, Catherine, very much.
All right.
We'll be back in just a moment.
my door. The heat's increased, rises from the floor. Choking ankles and wiping out pain.
Is Native American Samantha Crane, and a little more of that coming up in just a second. The reason we're playing that, in case you missed the connection, is our newest arrival here at KSFR's Tara Gatewood. Tara is host of Indigenous Foundation on Saturdays at 3 o'clock, and it is all about an exploration of Native American culture and music. And we just want to give you a flavor for that today during the Radio Cafe. So one more from Samantha Crane. This is called Calm Down.
Every time you sing, my heart gets bigger, mean as a bear. It's the gospel truth. Oh,
Samantha Crane, she is 22 years old, a Shawnee, and you can hear her, among many others, during Tara Gatewood's new show on Saturdays at 3 o'clock on KSFR. Finally, this morning, a remembrance and a holiday caution. It's happened again. Rose, 15, Alyssa, 16, Kate, 16, and Julian, 16, were killed just after midnight Sunday when another driver hit the passenger side of their Subaru wagon near Bobcat Bite on Old Las Vegas Highway. The New Mexican reports the driver of the Subaru that police say was hit by someone while driving drunk in the wrong lane does have a good chance to make a full recovery. Avery is her name. She's 16, and she was taken off a ventilator Monday and was breathing on her own, but has not yet regained consciousness. Injuries include a fractured skull and a fractured pelvis. Anna Maria Trujillo writes in the New Mexican, on Monday morning, hundreds of people came out to Santa Fe Prep, to the auditorium there to mourn the loss of both Kate and her friend Alyssa, both of whom were going to be seniors at the school. Monte del Sol students Julian and Rose were honored similarly at their place. Two of those students are part of the KSFR family. The Youth Media Project, which you can hear on Wednesdays, has featured Rose and Avery. Our hearts go out to all the families. That's our show for today. I'm Dal Dierman. Hope to see you Saturday on the Plaza. And thanks for great help this morning from Sean Conlon, Marilyn LeBlanc, our partners at the Santa Fe New Mexican, and all of our guests. Thanks, as always, to Dotfoil Communications for assistance with podcasting the cafe. If you want to hear an archived show, go to ksfr.org, and you can easily find your way to the Radio Cafe pages. Stay with us for news at 9, and then great jazz here at 101.1. And please, have a safe 4th of July weekend.